A recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
God is good, God is on the throne, and I will rejoice in him, and I will be glad. And sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, I will do this. Body, mind, snap out of it. I'm going to do this. I am moving forward. I have God in control. And so that's what we're working on tonight. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you go before us, that you go behind us. You are on either side of us, Lord. You surround us with your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your long-suffering, Lord, your goodness, your kindness that you've poured out on us, Lord. And you are doing a work that we wouldn't believe even if you told it to us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you are here with us in the way of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we never have to worry about that. I thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us and that you love us. And Lord, that you have gone before us. And Lord, as we look at this particular portion of text, Lord, as we see about this acceptance, as we see about forgiveness, as we see about the love that people have for one another, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory and honor, Lord. Make us aware of your presence. Let us be aware of your presence. Help us to hear from you tonight, Lord. Hear what you have to say to us. We want to bless you in everything that we say and do. We have all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to chapter 11, we are looking, the first thing that we see is it is a repeat. Again, we're telling the story. Again, we get to tell the story. But we're telling it for the third time. The third time. Have you noticed how many threes there are in the New Testament? How many times the number three comes up? And I have a list here of a number of threes that come up. We're not going to go through it because I do want to get you out sometime before 9 o'clock. And so, but there are a number of them. And there's just something about this man, Peter, who keeps using threes. God uses these threes in his life. And we know that when we think about it, Jesus was tempted three times by Satan when he was in the wilderness. We know that Peter, James, and John were the three disciples that were there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that Peter, James, and John had to be reminded three times, stop going to sleep and pray. We also know that Peter denied Jesus three times. It was the third hour of the day when Jesus was crucified. The Holy Spirit anointing at the day of Pentecost happened at the third hour. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And we have with that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I have begun to look at the number three in a really different way. Now, I do things like this. I'll get connected with things like this. Wherever I see a three, my mind is going to immediately go to God. I'm going to be thinking about God the moment I see a three, and I've seen it happen today as I was doing things. Every time that number three came up, for whatever reason, immediately my mind went to God because I was thinking about it. Maybe God works in threes so many times in the Bible so that we can see who he is and we can believe and we can trust him more. Here in Acts chapter 11, we're going to see, we have this account of the visions that were three times. This is the third time that we're seeing it. We know that Cornelius sent three men, and we know that Peter took three men back with him to Cornelius' house, and everybody coming up with the six. When you see something three times, it is saying, I had all these ways, sit down and pay attention, stand up and pay attention. What, just center your mind on what's being said. When God says something three times, pay attention. Just pay attention, because there is a reason why it's coming back again and again. If I were to title this chapter, which I very seldom do in titling my chapters, Jim, when he puts them on the radio, he says, or on tape or whatever, he says, so what would you like to title this one? Well, it's chapter 10. That's the title. It's chapter 10. But the title of chapter 11, I would title it Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness, because that's what's in here. Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. Now, this is also the title of a very good book that I would love for you guys to get your hands on if it's still in print. It is by Jerry Cook. And if you can still get a printed copy of that or an online copy of that, it would be great for you to do that. Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. Now, up until this time, there have been, in our study, there have been two groups of people. There have been the Jews. The Jews were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you have the Jews there. They are those descendants. And everyone else are the Gentiles. So we have the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have everyone else, the Gentiles. And the Jews looked down on the Gentiles. It wasn't supposed to be that way. God never planned for it to be that way. God planned that the Jews would be a light to the Gentiles, that they would show them how to live, that they would show them who God is. But it didn't happen that way, and the Jews began to think of themselves as better than. And boy, let me tell you, if that ever happens in your life, look out. When we begin to think that we're better than somebody else, I can guarantee myself that I am probably worse than that person. When I start thinking that I'm better than anybody else, I am the worst one of the bunch. And I need to pay attention to that. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but this is how the opening remarks of chapter 11 happen. And so we start with verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Can you see them when they get the news? What? What are they doing with the word of God? They're not allowed to have the word of God. Who's telling them the word of God? That's not right. What are we going to do about this? I can't wait till Peter gets here. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, because the Gentiles don't get to have the word of God. And can you see them saying that like that? And do you see how those two don't go together at all? And so here we have them saying that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And then Peter came to Jerusalem, and those of the circumcision contended with him. Who were the circumcision? The circumcision were the Jews who were, there are several names for them. They are completed Jews, or they are Messianic Jews. They are Jews who had accepted Christ as their Savior. So that was the people of the circumcision that we're talking about right here in verse 2, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. You ate with them. Yes, I did. In fact, I ate with them twice. When they came to my house, I invited them in and they stayed the night. because we didn't leave till the morning, so we had to have breakfast. Yes, we ate together. Then when I went to Cornelius's house, yes, I had a meal at Cornelius's house because they asked me to stay, and they decided I shouldn't starve while I was there. And so when you eat together, you are saying you are now family. And Peter, and they knew what they was being said there. And Peter was saying to Cornelius and to the men that came from Cornelius, come on in, we are family. We welcome you Gentiles in. You see the attitude of the circumcision here, of the Jews here who are accusing him. And it's not very much different from the days, if I wanted to make it like today. Back in the day of the hippies, back in the day, the tent days, I was a part of the tent days at Costa Mesa. Back in those days, when churches were saying, no, you can't come in, I'm sorry, you don't really fit here in the Baptist church, or you don't really fit here in whatever church. And the day when the some of the board spoke to Chuck and they said, we had some guys, some of those hippies come in, and they were putting their toes in the communion cup holders. And we can't have that going on. They're walking on our carpet with their dirty, bare feet, and we can't have that in here. And Chuck said, we will tear up the carpet, but they will come in. And you know who was the instigator of that? Kay Smith. Kay Smith was the one who was praying for the hippies, who encouraged Chuck, let them come in, let them come in. So she really is the mother of the Jesus movement. I'm just saying. I know that Chuck receives a lot of praise, and she deserves it too. So he went to the uncircumcision, and that's what it was like. And then they say, and here, Judea, they are asking, how could you do that? How could you go in and eat with them? They're not like us. You know that, Peter. You know that they're not like us. And so Peter begins to explain. And so from verse 4 down to 16 is the explanation for the third time of what was going on during those visions. And so Peter explained it to them in order. He started from the very beginning. And he says, I was in the city of Joppa and I was praying. That's the number one thing I want you to notice. He is telling them, I was there and I was praying. It is important that people know that you pray. It is important that people know that you pray, that you talk to God. It's important that you put that in. And in a trance, I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. And when I observed it intently and considered, now he's going into a little more detail than we've seen before. Before, it said there were unclean animals in there. I wouldn't have anything unclean. But here he goes into detail. He says that I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. There were certain birds that they were not allowed to eat. There were certain animals that they were not allowed to eat. The animals had to and that's Leviticus or Deuteronomy, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's Leviticus. That's a book you want to sit down and read sometime. Yeah. Oh, yeah, what are you reading right now? I want to sit down and just consume Leviticus. Okay, yeah, no. Okay, so there in that law, Peter is in the law at this particular time, and he is saying what was allowed for them to eat had to have a cloven hoof and chew the cud. They couldn't have a cloven hoof and not chew the cud and be eaten. They couldn't chew the cud and not have a cleft, what I said about the hoof. That was unclean. They had to do it exactly the way that the law said they had to do it. And so he says that these things that were in this sheet, they were all the things that were unclean. And I heard a voice saying to me, this is the next thing. They know that he's praying. He's told them I was praying. Now he's telling them, God spoke to me. They know this about Peter now. They know that he prays, and they know that God speaks to him. It's very important that we realize that God speaks to other people. And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, which we talked about last week. That doesn't belong together at all. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. I live under the law. I uphold the law. I do, when we're talking about the law, I got this. I'm the good guy. I never do anything that's not under the law. But the voice, verse 9, the voice answered me again from heaven. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now they know that he prays, and they know that he's hearing from God and what God said to him. Now this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And at, verse 11, at that very moment, 3 men stood before the house where I was having been sent to me from Caesarea. Now they know that Peter prays, that Peter hears from God. They know that these other people that came to him also were hearing from God because they knew where he was. They knew where to find him there in Joppa. Then the Spirit, verse 12, then the Spirit, underline the word Spirit in your Bible, because it's important to know that the Spirit was the one who told him. It is the Spirit that told me this. And it told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. So these 6 brethren went with him. The 6 brethren are the 3 men from Peter and the 3 from Cornelius. So there's no challenge in there on how many people had gone together. That's where the 6 came from. And he told us how he had seen an angel. Wait a minute, wait, whoa, wait. Are you talking about Cornelius, this other guy that you were talking about? Now you're saying that he said he saw an angel? He heard from God, but he's a Gentile. I'm not getting this, is what they're saying. And he said he saw an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa, telling him exactly where Peter was. This was a true angel. They knew exactly where Peter was. Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And this is what he came for. He came to find out how he can be saved. Back in the day, when we walked down the street and it was almost like that, people coming up to you saying, how can I accept Jesus? How can I get saved? That Jesus movement of the Holy Spirit, that's what was happening here. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, can you see him saying this? Okay, I want you to picture what's going on here. He's telling them all of this, and then he says, and as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on them, just like on us. It came right down on them. They were speaking in tongues. They were doing all the same things, and I don't know. He didn't mention anything about the clothes of fire being on their heads, but maybe that happened too. And he's excited. He's Jewish, for goodness sakes. He's going to be moving. He's going to be talking with his hands. Those guys, when we go over to Israel and the guys are talking to each other, you would swear that they were going to about ready to hit each other. And they're just talking about what they're having for dinner. It's just the weirdest thing. But anyway, and so he's saying that the Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I recognize that this is what happened to them. Guys, I'm telling you, this is what happened when I was there. And in verse 17, he says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Peter says, God gave the gift. It wasn't me. God gave the gift to the Gentiles. It wasn't me. Now Peter's asking questions. Do you think I'm going to go against God? Peter says. Because a long time ago, I learned that lesson very well. I ain't going against God. Ain't doing it. Not going against what God has to say, because God knows what he's doing. And he knows that, and he puts that forth to them. And then we go on to verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent. Can you see them with their beards? Oh, I'm doing them. But it says they were silent. Do you know how hard it is to be silent? Anybody ever try to just be silent? I sit and try to be silent, and I find myself, all of a sudden, the voice comes out, it can't be quiet. They were silent, anticipating, thinking about what he had said. And then they did something. They glorified God by saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. And here's what I think about that. I think that they said that three times. Just an opinion. I think they said, God has granted the Gentiles repentance to life. God has granted Gentiles repentance to life. God has granted Gentiles repentance to life. We agree. We agree. It applies to all who call on the name of the Lord. We get it. It applies to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call could be replaced with believe. You have to believe if you're going to call on somebody. You have to believe that they're going to answer. What does that word believe? What does it mean? It means to cling to, adhere to, rely on. And one other one that I forgot this morning. And trust in, cling to, rely on, adhere to. That's what it means to believe. And so, for whoever believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When they believe that way, and they shall be saved. And now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose after Stephen when he was stoned traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews. So they're only teaching the Jews. They're only giving the word of God to the Jews. Those who left after Stephen's stoning, they went to Phoenicia, which is a Philistine country. They went to Cyprus, which is Syria, and they went to Antioch, which we're going to learn a little bit more about. And they were preaching only to the Jews. Verse 20, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. I want you to look at that. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. You might want to underline that in your Bible. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. So they went up. This time they have only, okay. Antioch has now become a base missionary camp. It's become a missionary camp base. Like YWAM, Youth with a Mission. They put base camps in some of the worst places to live in. Although they look like places that are great to live in, like Paris, looks like a great place to live, but the stuff that goes on there is amazing. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. In the city were temples to Daphne, who legend says was seduced by Apollo. So Antioch was filled with seduction. It was an evil place. A lot of stuff was going on there. It was on the same level with Corinth. Now, if you don't know what was going on in Corinth, you need to do a study on your own and read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and you can see some of the things that were going on in Corinth. It was on the same level as Corinth. And so who are these Hellenists that we just talked about? The Hellenists were people who were Greek-speaking, had a Greek outlook on life, had a Greek way of life, but when they went to Ancestry.com, they found out that they had no Greek in them at all. They were Hellenized Jews. They had taken on everything from the Greek and had put aside the things that were of them. And the hand of the Lord, verse 21, was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A great number will not come and believe, a great number will not come and believe and turn to the Lord if the hand of the Lord is not on us. We need the hand of the Lord on us if we are going to see people come to Jesus under us. Then news of these things, verse 22, came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Barnabas, the encourager. We know about him as the encourager. Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Barnabas, the encourager, was glad to see the grace of God being poured out on all these other people. It's being poured out on all the other people, and he is glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Purpose of heart, with your whole heart. He encourages them to continue in their walk with the Lord. Hang on to him with all of your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's the Old King James Version. That's what I memorized it in. It's going to be a little bit different in yours. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Make sure that your heart is wholly given to God. Wholly given to God. Get God, don't leave him just in your mind. Bring him to your heart. Let him be the center of everything that gives you life. You know, we can live without a number of organs in our body, but we cannot live without a heart. Give him your whole heart, everything that's in you. Hold close to him in your heart. And he taught them that they were to continue with the Lord. Now, in verse 24, we see that Barnabas could have been a server at the tables. He could have been a guy that was picked to be one of the seven, for he was a good man, which means he was of good reputation. It says that he was full of the Holy Spirit, and it says that he was full of faith. And so, and a great many people were added to the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Why were a great many people added to the Lord? Because Barnabas walked his talk. He did those actions that said what he was saying was true. He was a man of his word. I hear so many times of stories of Christians that say a lot of stuff, but they don't follow through in their actions, and it just turns people off from the Lord. We need to be women of action, women who love the Lord and show that. Then Barnabas departed, and it'll draw many people. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Paul, to seek Saul. His name has not been changed yet, but it will be. He'll be the one that can effectively speak to these people. Hellenists, yeah. Oh, yeah, Saul can handle that. He's the guy. Where has Saul been? He's been in Tarsus. How long has he been there? 7 to 10 years. He's been in Tarsus, waiting on the Lord, learning about the Lord. He's been there waiting for the next thing. And now the next thing is coming to him. He's going to be sought. And, you know, we know the rest of the story with Paul, don't we? I wonder if there were times when he said, could I go back to Tarsus, please? Because this is hard. This is hard. But there he was. The word seek here is only used one other time in the Greek, in the New Testament. And it is a word, well, it's not used in the Old Testament in Greek because that was written in Hebrew. So in the New Testament, in Greek, the word seek is used only one other time, and that is also by Luke in his gospel, in Luke chapter 2, when Mary and Joseph were leaving the celebration. They were out of town, and they began to look for Jesus. Where was Jesus? Jesus was back at the temple about his father's business, and they sought him. That's the same word that is used here, that they sought Paul. They sought Saul. They would seek him as you would seek to find a lost child. In that same diligence, that same just really focused. I'm looking high and low. I'm looking everywhere. I will find him. I know that he's here. I will find him. And then getting those directions from the Lord. And Barnabas doesn't give up until he has found Paul. And when he had found him, verse 26, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught. Can underline that word, taught, a great many people. Barnabas is very content to be just the finder. He doesn't need to be the number one anything. I love this about Barnabas. He doesn't need to be the number one anything. I think he's the number one encourager. But he was a man who just was excited to encourage other people to use their gifts, and to do the things that God had before them. He was excited when you do something. We need more Barnabases. You know, I gotta say, I am proud of my family. My family is a family of encouragers. And you guys are a family of encouragers. You are excited to see somebody else rise up, somebody else get a word from the Lord. You're excited to see somebody else moving in a gift that maybe you wanted, but no, God gave it to them. You guys do that. I watch you. You are women of God, and you are forgivers too. Because if you're going to be an encourager, you got to be a forgiver. And you can't be a forgiver without loving someone. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. We need more Barnabases, and I need to be more like him. And so, in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. Look up into, I'm going to show you how to follow the Lord in three easy steps. look at verse 20. In verse 20, it says that they, when they came to Antioch, they came preaching the Lord Jesus. They came preaching the Lord Jesus. They came with the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 20. In verse 23, Barnabas encourages the believers to walk with Jesus. And in verse 26, it was the beginning of Paul's teaching ministry. So you have, they started out with people accepting Christ as Savior and by preaching Christ. Then Barnabas came and encouraged them to walk their talk. And then came Paul to teach them the Word of God. Those three things are so necessary in every Christian's life. We come to Jesus. We hang around with people who will encourage and challenge us to walk a walk worthy of our calling. Sometimes I need to be challenged to walk a walk that's worthy of the calling that God has on my life. Come to Jesus, hang with people who encourage or challenge you to walk worthy of your calling, and then learn the Word of God. We must have those three in our lives. Learn the Word of God so that you know why you believe what you believe, and that you have an answer for man whenever they ask. And then we see that because of the course that they were on, this was the first place in the last part of that verse. It says, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It was the first time that they were called Christ-like. They were called Christians. They were Christ-like. They were so much like Jesus that they gave them this name, Christians. Oh, you're so much like Christ, Christian. It wasn't a good name that they gave them. But they were so much like Jesus that they gave them a name that says, you are so much like Jesus. That's why we're called Christians. That's how we need to live that way. And so now we're about to move into, so we need all of those things. We need preaching, we need encouragement, and we need teaching. And now in verse 27, we're going to move into a gift of the Holy Spirit, another gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is about to happen here. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks a word and they are forth-tellers. They are not fortune-tellers. They are forth-tellers. They're going to tell you of things that are going to happen. And those things happen if they are really a prophet. And we know that this one turned out to be really a prophet. And then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit. Underline that in your Bible. By the Spirit. And then he went on to tell them that there was going to be a famine in the area, and that it was going to be out throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, the people that are hearing this are moved. This is the reason why I say by the Spirit, because that Spirit that was telling Agabus this was the same Spirit that the people were hearing with. And so their spirit bore witness with his spirit that these things were in fact true. They were from the Lord. This is going to happen. This is a true prophecy. There can be times when someone will spout off some kind of a word that sounds like a prophecy, but maybe something in you just goes, I don't know. That just doesn't sound right. Something in that just doesn't click with me. That's because your spirit is not in the same spirit that that person is. Sometimes it's just from the flesh that people speak out, and it's not from the Spirit. But when it is from the Spirit, that they bear witness to one another, and you go, yeah, that is true. I believe that. I believe that to be true. And so we know that it did happen. And so when the disciples heard that, did they do this? Okay. We'll see how it goes. I think they'll be fine up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. That's not what they did. What they did was every person of the disciples, verse 29, each according to their ability, determined to send relief. According to their ability. No one went into debt to help out somebody else. According to their ability. Some people were able to give a dollar. Some people were able to give $1,000. But they did it according to their ability to do it. And that's what made them who they were. They were determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. They were givers. Winston Churchill said, "What we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." There was life in the early church because they were givers. They were givers. We must be givers. We must ask, how can I help? What can I do? We must be there for one another, like you guys are, like my family is, there for one another, encouraging one another, being encouragers for one another. And how was the gift delivered? It was delivered by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, the encourager and the teacher. The encourager, walk in a way that's worthy of your calling, that he's going to be telling them all the way over there in Judea. And Paul is going to be teaching them all that time. Speaking of giving, I love to give things away. I really do. I will not give away my necklace, but I do love to give away things. I hate garage sales. I hate doing garage sales. Now, I admire any of you who just look forward to, oh, we're going to do a garage sale when we've got it all organized, we got all this stuff. I hate to do garage sales. It makes me crazier than I am naturally. I can't stand them. I'd rather give this stuff away. Well, John Corson spoke of a time. John Corson, I don't know, I have had the opportunity. I just want you to know I've met the man. Spent a little time in his house. Now, we got to visit his house. He is a minimalist in every way. And they don't have room for a lot of stuff. And so he has garage sales. Now, I heard him tell this story, and I love the idea. So at this garage sale that he's having, he has out a barbecue. There's not a thing wrong with the barbecue. John Corson would not put out a barbecue that had something wrong with it. He would take it to the trash, or he would fix it, or whatever. It was in perfect working order. It looked brand new. And the man says, "Oh, how much for the barbecue?" And John says, "It's free." "Okay, yeah, so how much for the barbecue?" "Well, it's free." "For me? Just for me?" "No, it's free." "Okay, so what about this over here? How much is this thing?" "No, it's free." Everything he had out there was free. He put it all out with a garage sale, but what John Corson does is a garage free. That's what I want to do. I don't want to take the trouble to take it out there, though. I want to give. I want to give like that. And God has blessed him for being a giver. And he's been through a lot, as you all know. But when we are givers, we will watch the church grow. Am I talking about watching refuge fill up? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us growing. We will grow when we are givers. People talk about tithing, and this is, I'm not making an illustration of tithing or anything, but people talk about, oh, I don't have money to tithe. You will never have money to tithe until you start tithing. It's just the way that it works. I can't understand it. It's just the way that it works. Now, the church is going to grow. But next week, Bethany is going to be teaching you because I'm going to be in Israel. And I'm excited for what she has to teach you. She's going to be teaching you on chapter 12, and it's going to be great. God bless you guys and give you all you need to accomplish whatever he's called you to do. Lord God, please have your hand on these precious ladies and just continue to minister to them in the way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.